Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Neil Haley Show. And we're going to be talking again, Embracing the Abyss, and it's going to be Chapter 8. I'm with John Smith. John, how are you? Again, we're learning this process. We're seeing where your life went into turmoil, how different opportunities came that were great and other opportunities weren't great. But that's life, isn't it?
C'est la vie.
Exactly. So start reading Chapter 8, please.
Chapter 8 of Embracing the Abyss is politics, and there were a lot of politics. During the 1983-1984, the political climate for savings and loans was at its peak of activity and would remain so for the next few years. Many of the SNLs were members of the State Savings and Loan Association. And all members were interested in the politics of how to keep the feds from interfering with their ability to make money. The regulators, or feds, were becoming more and aware that there were misdeeds being done in different Texas savings and loans. There were many political meetings, one of which the commander asked me to attend as an observer, to determine whether or not the political association was serving its purpose. Our guy, who I called Mr. Political, usually attended, but he often seemed to have an exaggerated view of the political association and its individual members, describing how positive and constructive the meetings were. But we didn't see many, if any, results to support his claims. I attended the meeting in Fort Worth. Jim Wright, Speaker of the House in the United States Congress, was there to orchestrate the show. I didn't think I'd ever see a man with eyebrows larger than Jim Wright's. The room was like a large classroom filled with owners and employees of Texas SNLs. Not in attendance were the regulators, the feds, who were considered the opposition. I took a seat in the back to observe as the meeting was about to begin. I was particularly interested in those behind the podium, those who appeared to be busy updating the agenda and delivering messages. Those in front of it were just visiting with each other, talking about the best way to fight the feds. I don't recall there being any motions or political actions determined or decided. What I do recall throughout the meeting was a lot of hustle and bustle up around the podium and to the sides of the podium. The hustle and bustle mostly consisted of podium group of folks asking the rest of us for political donations. Besides that, the other thing I noticed was that most of the participants were not tall, which is a kind way to put it. They were short guys. My view of what was occurring was that the people really running the show were a bunch of short guys with long cigars. I reported the information to the commander. He got a kick out of what I saw, having been the assistant commissioner of the Texas Savings and Loan, and asked, in what way did I describe it? He was very wary of whether or not the people attending the meeting were really a part of the political aspect or movement for the various SNLs. The commander had served as the, as I said, assistant commissioner. So he fielded a lot of requests from SNL owners, employees, and other affiliated persons asking for some. From his experience, I believe he developed a skeptical view of people. He wondered whether they were good or not and whether they were doing any good or not. After all, they did seem to spend most of their time hustling each other and asking the SNLs to make political contributions. Dixon had apparently been involved in making political contributions. Further, he often instructed Vernon Savings and Dondi Group higher-ups to contribute as well. He allowed them to be reimbursed by filing an expense report for the political contributions they made. Now, this, of course, was against the law. I was sometimes asked to remind staff that Dixon wanted them to make political contributions. I would follow up that statement by saying they'd have to talk to Dixon about how to get reimbursed and do that in person. And no one went to Dixon and challenged him in any way, shape, or form. Dixon believed that given enough money, the politicians in Washington, D.C. would eventually clamp down on the regulators. Jim Wright openly sided with the owners of savings and loans, being told and believing that there was no wrongdoing going on at the thrifts. History tells us that this was not true. Jim Wright's loss of the speaker seat was proof enough of that.
Wow.
That was an interesting day.
Yeah.
Quite interesting.
Well,
the cigars were almost as big as the people.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
And so that illegal activity was a red flag for you, but not a complete red flag.
Well, I didn't know what to expect. I hadn't been to any of those meetings. There was certainly nothing open-handed or open on the floor in terms of, you know, I'll take some of your loan portfolio if you'll take some of my loan portfolio. And those were called cats and dogs because they were all sick. So they trade portfolios, and then they have new loans on the balance sheet that would bolster the balance sheet and the reports that they were having to send to other people.
Mm-hmm. So basically, but that right there could have been the start that if they're going to cut corners like that, they'll do other things.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But then that's what I found out later on. At this point in the game, I'm still, I guess, figuring it out, thinking that the commander was going to rescue the whole situation and so forth. But it didn't happen. He got caught up in it. No matter how he tried to corral Dixon, you don't corral a man like that. He's just too unbelievably, what's the word? He's the brains behind the whole operation.
Okay.
And he ran it like he wanted to run.
So that's definitely interesting. And we'll have to see in chapter 9, if when it continues to go down the path, what happens next. But if they're going to take political contributions and have other employees do it and then give the money, that's pretty much is what we're trying to do, is they're covering up funds. And that's the perfect way to put that in expenditures for what they were pulling and where that hiding that money that was happening. And we'll find more and more about all the different things that were happening. You or John Smith was just going about your daily way saying, okay, this is what this company wants to do.
Yeah.
But wow, it's going to get worse.
It's going to get worse. And it does. And it did.
And stay tuned as this, again, crime show continues. All right, guys, again, you can go to embracingthebiz.com, purchase the book right now. John Smith. I mean, you also can go to searchingforintegrity.com to go listen to the podcast and check out John Smith and all those different places. John, I appreciate you stopping by.
Sure. My pleasure.
All right, guys, that was the Neil Haley Show special, Embracing the Biz segment. Take care.